We are joined by Jeff O'Brien. He is our attorney, barrister, and lawyer extraordinaire. And Jeff, congratulations to you and your client, Brandon Zylstra, NFL star for this past weekend.
Yeah, no, it was kind of a bright spot in an otherwise kind of dismal season for someone, especially with someone who's primarily a Vikings fan. So Brandon, you know, I handled some of these guys that, you know, I handle their off the field business matters, and Brandon right now is my only active NFL client because Zach Lyon retired after last season. So Brandon's the only one. And, you know, he's the guy who played from Concordia Moorhead Division III, ended up in Canada for a few years.
Had a great career in Canada, right?
He had a great career with Edmonton, came down to the Vikings, was kind of compared, I think, a little bit unfairly to Adam Thielen because, you know, local kid from small school in Minnesota. And, did 1 year with the Vikings and then was released. They wanted to get him through to the practice squad, but Carolina claimed him. And he ended up signing with Carolina before last season started. And he's been playing on special teams and just, you know, kind of busting his butt down there. And the kid is very humble. He hustles. He's fought through some injuries. Just a great guy. And all of a sudden I saw people tweeting yesterday about the Carolina game and Brandon Zylstra had recovered a fumble on the punt return for a touchdown. So I went and looked at the video and it was a beautiful play. He's running down the field, he's doing punt coverage, and the Washington punt returner, someone hit him and the ball goes careening into the end zone. And you watch Brandon find third gear and just go flying towards the ball, landing on it, and got his first NFL touchdown. So very cool to see. And, you know, Carolina has not had a great year there. They went into the game 4-10. So they're 5-10 now, but just a, you know, good way to sort of put, you know, finish up the season. They got one more game to go here.
It's a feel good story. Unlike with your Vikings.
All I saw was you were tweeting about it. I'm like, oh my God, there's a game on. I forgot about them. You know, that's how forgettable they've
Christmas
been
Day. They but, ruined Christmas. The team that ruined Christmas.
Yep. Exactly. And then, so I'm watching the stats pile up, and, you know, this has been a trend this year. You know, the offense scores many more points than they used to. I mean, I think someone said it's like 5 or 6 times this year they've lost while scoring 26 points. That's not Kirk Cousins' problem.
No, it's not. He's not contributing. He has not been a factor in losses since they turned it around with that 3-game winning streak. He really he's been fine since then.
And I've talked to Tommy Kramer a lot over the years. And, you know, Tommy used to get beat up sometimes. The quarterback always is going to get the blame when they lose, unfortunately. That's just the way the game is. But when you look deeper at what is going on the defensive side of the ball, they aren't getting the turnovers. They aren't getting field position. And they're getting absolutely toasted when they're on the field. And, you know, so there's bigger problems here. Everybody has their magic bullet for how they're going to fix the Vikings, and it usually involves releasing or trading Kirk Cousins. I saw somebody in our little Viking group suggest that they should trade Cousins in a 3rd-round pick to Cleveland for Odell Beckham Jr. and Case Keenum, and someone told them, stop living in 2017. It's just, you know, the guy's been a solid, serviceable, consistent quarterback this year. I don't know what everybody's complaining about.
He has, but his contract does eat up a lot of money that could be going to maybe some defensive players. That's the big problem. It's the contract and how much they have to pay this guy because they're not ready to make a move for the postseason or the Super Bowl.
They aren't, but they have missed so many times. You know, Spielman's had some good drafts and some good draft picks, but when it comes to the offensive line particularly, they continually overlook that piece of the team.
They do, but
if
Jeff,
you're
going
to spend that money on a quarterback, you're going to have to spend the offensive line to protect
him. Well, but this team's line problems are not on the offensive line right now. It's the defensive line, which gets no pressure.
No, they're decimated on defense, and it's losses in free agency, it's injuries, it's everything. But for a head coach known for his quote-unquote vaunted defense, they aren't really vaunted this year.
No, there's no vaunted going on at all. And I'm working on a column for Vikings territory to come up with a an appropriate nickname for this defense. Usually it's the good ones that get it, but when you're so horrible, I think you would be, you know, I think that would, I think it's worthy of a nickname. And I've gotten a ton of people have sent me some because I put it out on social media. I don't know if you saw any of them. You mean the purple pansies or the purple poopy pants? That to me sums it up pretty good, but there's plenty of others. All right, now I got to ask you about your expertise is law, and you are involved in a lawsuit that was going to be filed last week, but you had some delays. And this is a lawsuit representing bars and restaurants suing the governor and the state of Minnesota to be allowed to reopen. Is that a capitalization of it?
That's correct. Yeah, this is a group of bar and restaurant owners who have not, you know, opened in defiance of the governor's executive orders. They've played ball. They've done, you know, the curbside. They were honoring the capacity limits when those were in effect. And if we're going to file in state court, and we're going to ask a judge to find, you know, we believe that at this point to continue to extend the closure order against bars and restaurants, when you see the cases dropping below the threshold, the acceptable threshold by the CDC, it's arbitrary and capricious for the governor to continue the closure order and to, you know, reset to where they're open at 50% capacity. There's no reason why they shouldn't be.
Well, then I happen to agree with you, but and can you work in there also that they do a better job of salting the roads, which I don't think they did at all last week. I mean,
that rare moment that the snowstorm we had last week, and it was bad, you know, that crash that happened on 94 in Albertville where people were trapped in their cars, that happened just outside of our neighborhood. I had to go out of our neighborhood at one point during the day on our frontage road, which parallels 94, and I could see a bunch of lights. I'm like, that doesn't look good. But the problem was that when you got all the snow and then it got cold real quick, and that's like the perfect storm. Once you get, I think, if I understand right, I think the chemicals only work down to 10 degrees. So if it drops below 10 degrees, the chemicals don't work on clearing the roads. So I had to drive to Golden Valley to my dad's on Thursday morning, and the roads were bad because, you know, the chemicals weren't working.
Jeff, we also have there's something called sand, because if they know what the temperature is, they can put sand down. Also, it was not below zero. I believe on Thursday we were done with below zero temps. So I don't think the roads were horrible into the weekend. And it's an excuse with that and this whole vaccine thing, where he cannot get the vaccines out, or we're not getting vaccines to people who need them, like frontline workers or medical doctors, the nurses, people who are on the front lines. It's just absolutely terrible and, to me, inexcusable. And on that note, we'll get happier in the next segment. Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone, thank you so much. The BS Show will take a quick break, and we will be right back.